Narayana Namaskritta Narongteva Narutamam Devim Saraswati Vyasam Tatojayam Udirayat Nashita Prayesua Bhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sivaya Bhagavata Uttamasloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Hare Krishna, good morning everybody. Hare Krishna. It's nice to get the opportunity to associate with you and also do service. So this morning, Srimad Bhagavatam class is from Canto 1, Chapter 6, and Text 17. And as usual, I'm going to say the text three times, and after that, devotees that feel so inspired to repeat the Sanskrit can do so. Hare Krishna. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text 17. Premati bhara nebina pulakango tinirvita anande sampave nino napasyam ubayamune premati bhara nebina pulakango tinirvita Anande sampavelino napasha ubayamune premati bhara nibhina ulakango nivita ananda sampavelino napasham ubayamune Hare Krishna. So word for word, prema, love. Ativara, excessive. Nivina, especially distinguished. Pulaka, feelings of happiness. Anga, different bodily parts. Atinivrita, being fully overwhelmed. Ananda, ecstasy. Sampave, in the ocean of. Lina, absorbed in. Na, not. Apashyam, could see. Ubhayam, both. Mune, O Vyasadeva. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Vyasadeva, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Spiritual feelings of happiness and intense ecstasies have no mundane comparison. Therefore, it is very difficult to give expression to such feelings. We can just have a glimpse of such ecstasy in the words of Sri Narada Muni. Each and every part of the body or senses has his particular function. After seeing the Lord, all the senses become fully awakened to render service unto the Lord because in the liberated state, the senses are fully efficient in serving the Lord. As such, in that transcendental ecstasy, it so happened that the senses became separately enlivened to serve the Lord. This being so, Narada Muni lost himself in seeing both himself and the Lord simultaneously. Om Aginati Mirandasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshu Omnitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadatikam Vandeham Shri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaisnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tansajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Paramami Hayi Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasunibhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhara Sivachari Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschatya Deshitarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Kuratse Namaha Anandali Namaya Vigrahaya Madhya Divacha Vishundaraya Tasmi Maha Prema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So, the English translation again. O Vyasadeva, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body becomes separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord. Hare Krishna. So this is Narada Muni speaking to Vyasadeva, describing what he went through after being with the sages in the 4 months, the rainy season, where he, Narada Muni, got the opportunity to be with them while his mother served them. And this has progressed up to a point where he's telling Vyasadeva that he's gotten the opportunity to see the Lord in the heart through the techniques that he was taught by the sages. And the feelings of seeing the Lord, how his senses responded, is what he's describing in this particular text here. O Vyasadeva, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness. Yeah, the first time I read this, I said, I wish. I wish I could go through that kind of stuff. You know, so I kind of laughed at myself. Sometimes you just pity yourself if you're in the material world and you hear all of this thing going on in the Shastra. It's like, well, I'm not part of it. Too bad, huh? To be here. But we are always fortunate. Always fortunate in the sense that the spiritual master has given us the mercy and we have a chance to go back to Godhead to experience these things later, even if we don't have the experience now as pure devotees. Because if you're like me, you're not a pure devotee. Now, all right, so this is just on the side. That's how this experience that I just described. Now, here to, so, Narada Muni was exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness. Everyone in this world is trying to find a way to be happy. And in the Kali Yuga, things have gotten so mundane that sometimes what people watch or take part in or even do by themselves seemingly, it's going to give me happiness, ecstasy. It does exactly the opposite. Take drinking beer, for example. People, you just get bars and then, because devotees don't do that, but, majority of people in the world do that. It's going to give you happiness in the sense that you'll be uninhibited. So when you're drunk, you don't really care. You just look at drunk people. They say anything they want to say, and they act all kinds of crazy ways. But they think that gives them happiness. And then when they come to their senses again, another time they're going to drink again and go through the same thing. But they think this is a wonderful thing to do. So we won't belabor it so much. It's just in the material world, things are the opposite. I was watching and listening, this was in TV, YouTube, a lecture by Srila Prabhupada. And he was describing how things here in the material world, let's say our planet, on this earth, are being taken as the right thing to do, the wonderful thing to do. But in fact, it is the opposite. And he gave an example of Arjuna. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna was urging him to fight. Krishna even told him later on that those that were assembled will be killed except the 5 Pandavas. Arjuna's point was, but if I win and win the war, my brothers will be with me. We will get Hastinapur. We will actually get to rule the world. But isn't happiness normally shared with family members and people that you like the best? Yeah, my brothers will be there, but I've got an extended family and people who matter to me so much, like Bhishma and Drona, especially his grandfather Bhishma. And you say all of them will be killed, then how am I going to be happy here after the war? So people have their own idea of happiness, but real happiness is spiritual happiness. And real happiness is being described here by none other than Nishaktivesh Avatar giving bhakti wherever he goes. Sri Narada Muni. So, he's giving his own example. As he saw the Lord, this was his reaction to it. When the time comes and every single one of us gets to go back to the spiritual world, we will have those experiences too. And it's not an experience for only a short period of time. It's going to be an experience that would be constant, continuous. Serving the Lord with the spiritual senses, the senses of the soul, is ecstatic. And this is how this particular text, Narada Muni, is giving us a little glimpse of what it is like. Being overpowered by feelings of happiness. Every part of his body became separately enlivened. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, you can't compare this kind of happiness to the mundane so-called happiness. Spiritual feelings of happiness and intense ecstasies have no mundane comparison. Therefore, it is very difficult to give expression to such feelings. Now, pure devotees that are among us and pure devotees that we read about in the Shastra, they can go through this. They go through it in different ways depending on what they're doing. Narada Muni meditated on the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart according to how he was taught. This is when he was little now. His mother had just been bitten by a snake, left the body, and he was roaming through different areas. This is the text before this. And then, he got to this meditation after he quenched his thirst by drinking water and also taking a bath. So all of those are texts before this. Now, Srila Prabhupada says, we can have a glimpse of such ecstasy in the words of Sri Narada Muni. Now, we can only imagine, unless you're a pure devotee, every part of a body becoming separately enlivened. Now, what do we normally feel in parts of our bodies? Sometimes we're wearing clothes and we don't even feel that the clothes are on us because we're so used to it that the sense of even the feeling of the clothes being there, it's just, we're going on with life. But imagine it's a different situation. Every part of the body being separately enlivened. It's hard to even wrap your mind around it. But putting very, very simply, Narada Muni says he was absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy. So much so that he couldn't even see himself and the Lord, as Srila Prabhupada says, simultaneously. So Srila Prabhupada says each and every part of the body or senses has its particular function. We know that. But after seeing the Lord, all the senses become fully awakened to render service unto the Lord, because in the liberated state, the senses are fully efficient in serving the Lord. So in the liberated state. See, Papa sometimes tells us that when a person is convinced that Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and also believes that Janma Karma Tave Divyam, he quotes a lot, that his activities and his appearance, Krishna's activities and his appearance are all transcendental and not material. A person who understands that, believes that, even when Krishna is in the material world and going through pastimes, that they are all spiritual, that person is liberated. So we try, with our mundane minds, to do our best to understand spirituality and to try to live it. But through the mercy of the spiritual master, on our own, we won't get far. But through the mercy of the spiritual master, we are able to move forward a little bit, have some glimpse. Later on, we'll talk about what devotees do. That's also wonderful. Chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The chanting of the Lord which connects with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, the hearing also. Because that's when you get to know more about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what to do, what not to do in serving Him, and also the pastimes, which is very, very enlivening. So, Narada Muni was lost in himself, not seeing the Lord, not seeing, which means his tears and all of that. The whole body is just very, very, very enlivened. Now, in Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 3, Text 15, a part of the purport, Srila Prabhupada compares material and spiritual world's activities in pleasure. Now, we've already talked about a little bit about the material world, or what we call material pleasure, and we know it's very shallow. Now, Srila Prabhupada said, the spiritual world, where everything is pure, is pervertedly reflected in this material world. So the things that go on in the material world are, in a kind of crazy way, okay, put it in colloquial terms, similar to what goes on in the spiritual world. Here people travel, spiritual world people travel. Here their homes, the spiritual world their homes. Except that everything is in perfection there. And beauty is everywhere. Sometimes in reading Gaga Samhita, there's some parts of the spiritual world that are described as mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And so our home is wonderful. It's a question of how to get there, how to take the process seriously so we can get the mercy of the Lord. Anyway, so Srila Prabhupada says in this section here, since everything in the spiritual world is absolute, in the spiritual varieties of apparent pleasure and pain, there is no perception other than eternal bliss. And then he says something that was quite interesting. Whereas the material world, because everything is contaminated by the modes of material nature, there are feelings of pleasure and pain. So what Srila Prabhupada is getting here is comparing what we call pleasure and pain in material world to the spiritual world. He's saying, Srila Prabhupada is saying is, because we are now affected and literally controlled by the modes of material nature, Some things are categorized as pleasurable, some things are categorized as painful. And of course, in Kali Yuga, things have gotten worse. So even sometimes some things that are crazy to do or harmful to the body, they call it pleasure. Sometimes fear is used as pleasure. And there's several examples here in the material world, especially in some of these advanced countries, not knowing how to enjoy themselves, they do crazy things and they call it enjoyment. Like bungee jumping. If you know what that is, it's just they take a machine and put a long string that is elastic. It can just stretch. And the person just grabs it and then they let the person down and it just falls. And as you know, the bottom of where they're falling is actually dangerous. If you hit a rock, there's nothing to support them on the bottom. And if they hit it, they're going to splatter and die immediately. But just before that person gets to there, then the bungee cord, that cord pulls them back up. So in other words, they see that death is coming, they see the fear, and then all of a sudden, it's gone because they've been pulled back up. And this is another way of enjoying. Or many things in the what's called amusement parks. You hear people go do different rides and get on different rides. And you see, I've seen people screaming. But it's supposed to be an enjoyable thing. So now things that are causing fear is used for enjoyment. Not to mention the movies. Scary movies. Pain, fire, crashes, all those things that have been happening in real life, we get very, very disturbed about it. We watch it as movies. That's why Srila Prabhupada says to stay away from all of those things because they just disturb the mind. That's all. So, in the spiritual world, there is continuous service in love to the servants of a servant of a servant of a Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is continuous service in love. We are told that the soul is Satchinananda. The soul is in bliss. If the soul is in bliss, and the soul is, you know, in the spiritual world, we are doing continuous service to the Lord, then it follows that the service itself is blissful. If you're doing service, and you're also constantly happy, then it means what you're doing makes you happy. That is the conclusion, because both are going on. You're blissful and you're also serving. Therefore, service in the spiritual world is wonderful. It's not like the mundane material world, which some service doesn't give joy at all. Some people go to jobs, they don't like their jobs, but they are serving the company, the owner of the company or the government, depending on what kind of job they have. So, in the material world, we categorize what's called pain, what's called pleasure. But in the spiritual world, even when Krishna is not around, the feelings of missing Krishna, Srila Prabhupada describes as the feelings are wonderful in themselves. We may read it and with our minds say, oh, well, you know, the gopis are so, feeling so down when Krishna is gone, especially when Krishna left Vrindavan and Akura came to take him with Balaram, and then they went to Mathura. It wasn't so far away, but the fact is Krishna was gone. So then their daily activities were different now because they all involved Krishna at first, especially the night in the Rasa dance. That all had to be stopped for a while. And so Srila Prabhupada described this in a different lecture. Srila Prabhupada described that we may think that when Krishna leaves the gopis, that the feelings of moroseness to that extent is actually a hurtful situation for them. But we look at it from a material standpoint. Srila Prabhupada describes deeper than that is actually feeling of bliss. The Krishna is actually not here. They're missing Krishna. The missing of Krishna gives them also a certain kind of happiness. He says, you would never be able to understand it unless you actually have that, those kind of feelings yourself. Which means, of course, when we go back to the spiritual world, then of course the feelings would be expressed that way. So it's almost like at this point, the service and the way the gopis feel, the way the other entities feel in the spiritual world, right now it's over our head because we're in the material world. But there is a way out. So let's talk about asana. We know Srila Prabhupada, in his mercy, and also in his great wisdom, he's given us things. As a matter of fact, he has used those things, we'll mention in a few minutes, those things to get some people who were not Hare Krishnas to come to the society and also to stay in the society. So, he knows, Srila Prabhupada knows that these types of ecstasies, we won't be able to experience it the way we are now. But there are some things that make us happy. For example, when prasadam is ready, and we're serving prasadam, and the devotees are taking prasadam, say the prasadam prayer, and then they honor the prasadam, that's the time that we're very happy. Prasadam time. Who turns it down? Everybody's happy to have prasadam. Cooked well, especially on occasion where there's no, like we just had Govardhan Puja in the hill and in different temples, you make the hill, it's not the regular dirt, the hill is prasadam. Sometimes it's cake or sometimes it's how it's made. However way, you know, it's made, it's wonderful. People get to enjoy that. And then Tapan Bhog, when it all gets offered, all kinds of eatables are there. 3 days back, we're having that. What else? Devotees get to dance. How many churches do you go to, people dance to that extent? But devotees can dance and sing. Kirtans, wonderful music, and the devotees are not only singing, but they're singing, and the lead singer puts it a certain way, and we all join in. And so when you finish, you look at the devotees' face, everybody's smiling. So the dance is there, the singing is there, for kirtans, and then bhajans, we get into a very meditative mood. Goes to the heart. The greatest part of it is we get to chant Hare Krishna mantra through all of this. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So devotees, they feel enlivened. We don't get to the point where Nadamuni may be describing it here, true enough, but devotees feel enlivened after every nice program. So, little by little, we're getting a sense of how it's going to be in the spiritual world, because the spiritual world is the ultimate. It's the ultimate. In terms of the degree of enjoyment, the music, the dancing, the atmosphere, all of that. So we're doing a little practice here for what's in the spiritual world as far as enjoyment goes. So you eat prasadam, you can dance, and you can sing, just chant and be happy. And this is how Srila Prabhupada sometimes said, do you come? Some people come, they're not sure they want to stay. The philosophy looks a little bit strange to them or whatever their background is. You know, Srila Prabhupada says, just be with us. You eat prasadam and you dance and you'll be happy and chant the holy name of the Lord. And true enough, those things make us happy. So, devotees feel enlivened after every nice program. In the spiritual world, the programs are one after another. And one program after another one goes on, and it's more fun than the program because it's slightly different, and sometimes it's markedly different. But it's more fun than the previous one. So if you can imagine, one program after another, fun. Fun and fun and fun and fun. And there's nothing to worry about, like the way we do our taxes and insurance, you name it, you get to that point, life changes there. But in the spiritual world, on and on and on and on and on. So so-called job is just simply, in the spiritual world, is to prepare for the next fun situation, for the next pastime of the Lord. The Lord sometimes is not present when the pastime starts, and he may come, and he is a master of surprise. He may come at any time. My spiritual master described this to me. And when he comes, there's an explosion of whatever it is, because whatever it is that's going on, that's already wonderful. There's an explosion of it, which goes several levels, because there's no telling what Krishna will do at any time. So, we've heard about Krishna's Rasalila with the cowherd girls, the gopis. So, in one book, chapter one of On the Way to Krishna, section here. Now, Krishna says, no, you say Papa, sorry, he's saying in that particular book in chapter one, that those exchanges between Krishna and the gopis, they're not ordinary exchanges. Just like people think, you know, a man and a woman exchanges in material bodies. That's why sometimes people say, oh, Krishna is immoral and that's this and that's, we don't understand the deeper feelings, spiritual feelings. So, Srila Prabhupada says, it is rather an exchange of feelings through spiritual bodies. And then he makes a comparison and says, we can't understand it here. One has to be somewhat intelligent to understand this. This is over our heads. And he says, for a foolish man who can understand what real happiness is, we're looking at happiness by what we know in the material world. It's like a man who has been told, sugarcane is very sweet. And how sweet? Well, you chew it. And the juice is sweet. Okay, well, what is it? You ask, what does sugarcane look like? It looks like bamboo, and it is. Compared to bamboo, it looks, you know, slim and tall, just like bamboo is. So the foolish man begins to chew all kinds of bamboo rods. Now, how can he get the experience of the sweetness of sugarcane if he starts chewing bamboo? So, Srila Prabhupada says, we're trying to get happiness and pleasure, but we're trying to get happiness and pleasure from them, from these material bodies, trying to, quote unquote, chew on these material bodies, extract something from material bodies. But there is no happiness and no pleasure. It's like trying to get sweetness from a bamboo rod. In the spiritual world, you get to chew the real sugarcane, in a manner of speaking. So, there are times, though, that we get a little bit of feeling of ecstasy. And Bhaktivedanta Maharaj described this some time back. He said it's called shadow ecstasy. It can occur to devotees, especially when they get very deeply into chanting of the holy name of the Lord in japa. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That is called shadow ecstasy. And it comes in different ways. Sometimes a devotee may be chanting and they may start crying. They may get to the point where they don't even want to move the counter beats. The regular bead is in the bead bag or in the hand, however with the chanting and moving it, and the feelings that they get may be such that they don't even want to break the concentration of looking back on the move and, you know, side being counting or how much have I done and so on to get to your 16 rounds. So that is there, and some devotees have experienced it. Usually, the devotees don't want to talk about it so much. It's not fake. But what happens is, this is a situation Krishna is giving a sense of how sweet his name can be when one chants the holy name. When we chant the holy name and our mind travels and goes to different places, we'll never have that kind of feeling. But it comes from intense focus and feeling fortunate. And the mind being very, very focused on the holy name. And going on and on and on and on with it, it can sometimes happen to some devotees. The heart feels very warm. The chest feels very warm. Those are there, and it's not fake. And it takes, like, you know, sometimes, and I've heard it from devotees, a few devotees. And those are people that would be, you know, to the point where they can, in fact, share their minds in confidence. They'll say that I've had these kind of feelings and so on. So then I asked my Guru Maharaj, he said, yeah, it is there. It is there. It's called shadow ecstasy. And Krishna is giving that devotee that's feeling that way a sense of what it can be like in the spiritual world. He used the word shadow, but the shadow is not the real. But the shadow has an outline of the real. Everything has the shadow of it, has the outline of it, like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. So the shadow gives you a sense of what it can be like in the spiritual world. That has happened to some devotees here. So, what do we need to do? Well, we need to serve with our hearts and serve with humility. Service, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj says, it should be so genuine to Krishna and so full of love and effort that the Lord will want to see us. That's the mood that we should approach service. And with that, the happiness will come. The happiness, the internal happiness will come. The other thing we need to watch is offenses, because that ruins our efforts. In any kind of way that you want to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to Spiritual Master's instructions, whichever way that you want to take to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to Spiritual Master's instructions, that's all right. But when we begin to offend, then it's like, as we know, mad elephant disease, we don't get much from it at all. So, in our situation, we may not experience what Narada Muni has experienced. Not yet. Go back to the spiritual world, it is possible. Narada Muni is a pure devotee, so we can understand that. Now, we need to be humble in our devotional quest, on the royal path of devotion. We need to be very humble. A few things. We should admit that we have not been at the level where all our senses have been agitated in a positive way, as explained by Narada Muni. Admit that we're not at the level. With that understanding, we can beg for the mercy of the Lord that one day our service will also be purified such that the service gives us great ecstasy. Great ecstasy. We're not saying that the devotees are not feeling ecstasy now. They are. Some people that are serving, they're serving wonderfully. And it gives them some joy, some satisfaction. There are devotees that would dress the deities, after the early morning program, after Mangala Arati, and after that, there's a certain kind of satisfaction that comes when they dress the devotees. They dress the deities very, very, very nicely. The devotee himself or herself feels some sort of satisfaction. So that's there. But it's not at the level that Narada Muni has described true enough. The next thing we can do is to pray for the welfare of devotees when we're serving the Lord. The other day, one Mataji was asking me, it wasn't in this Bhavatam, but the other one that's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday called the Happy Hour, how to get away from thinking negatively about devotees. At the time, some ideas came up by the mercy of my Guru and Srila Prabhupada, we answered it. But some of the things too that we need to be aware of is to appreciate devotees for a few reasons, which we will discuss now. Devotees are not like non-devotees, in the sense that devotees are going through certain ways of living that non-devotees are not going through. Simply put, the four regulative principles. Non-devotees don't live like that. So a devotee, even if you say, well, I have issues with this person and they do this and they do that, but remember who this person, this devotee is. This is a person who has in fact taken the decision to live a life that is austere compared to the way non-devotees so-called enjoy themselves. And if we put it another way, you say, okay, some people say, well, I have friends with devotees, sometimes they're a problem, and sometimes non-devotees, people are very nice people. But give this so-called nice non-devotee the regulative principles to live by. Say, okay, sir, yeah, I know you drink, but stop drinking. Don't smoke. Don't drink. Don't eat meat. Don't involve yourself sexually. Don't gamble. Don't play the lottery. He's going to tell you, but all of these things, you know, or at least some of them are the ones that give me joy. And how are you taking it from me? They will complain immediately. The so-called good person, that's a non-devotee. The fact is they're not living like the way devotees are living. Therefore, we should appreciate that when devotees have some faults on them, the fact that we are all conditioned souls, there will be faults. The devotee that so-called has all these faults has the lifestyle that they're living that devotees, non-devotees couldn't handle. There were a couple of young women that came to our temple last Sunday, or maybe two Sundays back. They were through our temple means the temple in Harrisburg. They had looked at the website and they were interested in some of the things that we were doing. The website has been done up nicely and it's quite inviting. And so they looked at the address. They came from a good hour away. They drove and came down. And at the end, we were talking to them. We, my wife, myself, and one more devotee, we spent some time with these two. And they listened, and then they asked us questions. And then in the end, one of them said, because we said, you can take prasadam, you know, it's vegetarian. And one of them said, I'm vegetarian, so this is going to be just right up my alley. You know, this is something I would like. I'm vegetarian. The other one, this face dropped down and says, well, I have to have meat in my diet. I don't know what I'm going to take vegetarian. And this is how they ended. And they left. We bid them farewell nicely, you know, as well as we could treat them. But they were two seemingly nice people. And when we mentioned that the food, which was prasadam for us, was vegetarian, immediately there was a split between them. So the point we're making is, yes, devotees do have faults, but Sri Guru Govinda Maharaj said, look more at the positive things and don't focus on the negative. That is something that's there because we're conditioned souls, and through hearing and through chanting, the purification will come. Focus on the positive, and remember that every devotee has actually given up quite a bit of what so-called enjoyment in the material world to be a devotee. And that's why it's important to appreciate devotees. Now, for us, again, some people, most of us, won't come to the level of enjoyment that Narada Muni experienced with the Lord, seeing the Lord that way. Now, in Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 8, it's quite a popular one. It's one of the prayers by Lord Brahma to Krishna. Tatenu kampam su samikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam idvag vapubir vidadan namaste Tiveta yung multipade sa pataya bak. Translation is, my dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, with his words, and his body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. To Lord Brahma, through this prayer, is indicating to Krishna, for our benefit, that one who waits earnestly for the Lord's mercy, and all the while going through different reactions, suffering, sometimes pleasure is there, but suffering is what we don't like, right? So the suffering is there, that is quite serious. Sometimes it happens to devotees, and sometimes devotees question, what's going on with me? But even through all of this, going on, offering respectful obeisances with his heart, words, body, that person is sure for liberation. Sure to get it. So, when we go through problems, we shouldn't say, oh, but what's happening to me? Why is the Lord not paying attention to me? Why is the Lord not protecting me? Why is the Lord not giving his mercy? We should delve into the process even more. Serve more, chant more desperately, and even increase the number of rounds that we chant. In other words, difficulty should not push us away from the Lord. Difficulty is for everybody. We all experience some things. But it's a test to help us to grow. And so when we're in the middle of tests, we should in fact get closer to the Lord, take our bhakti more seriously. And that way, Krishna will see that we're serious. And we'll get to the point where now we're eligible for liberation. We go back to Godhead, and then we can experience what Narada Muni was describing here. So it may not be for us yet, even though Narada Muni has described it, but you gotta feel that it's there for everybody, and he talked about how he was feeling, because it is there, we will also get to that point. And even though it may not be there now for us conditioned souls, the opportunity will come later on if we stick with the process. And whenever there's difficulty, take the process even more seriously. Delve more into it. Don't stay away from coming to the temple and say, no, do exactly the opposite. Do things with devotees. Associate more. Reveal your mind and confidence to one you trust the most. And go on. And don't slack and chant less than 16 rounds, chant even more than 16 rounds. The more trouble you're in, the more you go closer to the Lord. And this is how we're going to not only stay in the process, but be successful in the end and earn the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So, I'll go over the text again. The English translation is, O Vyasadeva, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord. That time will come. We will also go through that. You just have to stay the course. Hare Krishna. So that you'll be ecstatic too in the end. A very, very important point. Very important comment. Because Maya is always looking for when we let down our guard. When we let down our guard and say, oh, everything is going well. I was taught like this. So I'm a spiritual master by senior devotees and I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to. So I'm all right. So things going on normally. And the money is okay. I can pay my bills and it's okay. So life is just normally going on. Yes, it may feel that way, but Maya is always next to us looking for ways to, you know, let down. Let down. Speaking of that, that reminds me of a sport. This is way back when somehow Lord's Switzerland reminded me about it. There was a long distance competition. I think it was 5,000 meters or something. I don't remember. But anyway, there was this person who was close to the end and thought that he had won. And he was just like, you know, for a while, nobody was close to him. At least he didn't see anybody behind him. So he was just running steadily and, it's almost to the end now. So she let down. And to his surprise, before he crossed, there was someone behind him, just beat him to it. Why? Because he got complacent. Rather than stay the course and say, okay, well, I'm doing everything right. The chances are there that I'm going to get a medal or whatever, or be acclaimed that's having my efforts, obviously, having won something or done something good. Somebody behind him beat him. And so the point is, even when things seem to be going well, we should always be on guard. Never let down. On guard, because Maya is always looking to sneak in and have us do something. So when challenges come, it's more obvious that you're in a situation that you're being tested. Therefore, then you have to give your heart more and do all the things. We'll talk about some of them. Do all the things that you need to do in order to be able to stay the course. But yeah, when you're complacent, or when your things are going well too, still we have to be. Stay in the association of devotees. That's what keeps you in that form. Association of good devotees. Yeah, fixed up devotees. Hare Krishna. Good point. Brought up. Any other comments? Or takeaways? That is, you know, whatever you thought you benefited from, or what you heard that you thought you needed to know about, and add it to your knowledge, you can talk about that. And we'll have a discussion with you too. So any other comments or questions? We have to be careful, which is very important. Yeah, we have to be very, very, very careful. The point is, the material world now, of course, the people who think they can make life better because they're non-devotees, it's not going to happen, but they don't see it. But for devotees, we know that going back to the spiritual world, going back to Godhead, is where all of these problems that we have here will end. We know that. Now, we go through changes. Sometimes, because of our lower nature, we act not so nice, and devotees notice it. Other devotees may notice it. But then we have to understand something. Rather than look at it and say, well, this devotee is bad, you can change the word bad to we have a disease. We have a disease. So when you say a person is bad, then of course negative things, negative thoughts come about that particular person. But when you change that feeling, that from a devotee being bad to a devotee being sick, see, we don't do bad things to sick people. We try to heal them. We try to help them. So then that changes from that bad feeling to, okay, we are in need of being healed because we are sick. That's why we're in the material world. Then anybody that looks or does something that you might consider negative, you look at it and say, well, that's part of the sickness. And if it's part of the sickness, then what do? Help them. Help them. Or if you can't help them, you won't at least feel that they're bad. You will say they're sick. Well, you know, then you feel sorry rather than. Because we tend to feel sorry for people who are sick. So change the mentality, what you're suggesting, change the mentality from a bad devotee to a person who is challenged mentally, and they have a sickness. And if you can help them, then help them. And if you don't, then look at them. If you can't, then look at them as sick and therefore leave them alone. That way you don't think negatively about the devotees. Hare Krishna. Well, Nada Muni being in ecstasy, and the way he described it, many of us obviously haven't had that type of feeling, so then, you know, it's the question of what do we do? Well, we stay the course. We stay the course because our time will come. Otherwise, Nada Muni wouldn't be talking about it like that. He wasn't just trying to brag. He was talking about just, you know, focus on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he will reveal himself in many ways. So far, we have the deity, so, you know, we could also just be trying our best to associate with the deities. And, of course, with devotees who are our representation of the residents in the spiritual world, how to relate to them. Hare Krishna.